WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome in to the student section, college football. I am your host, Graham Bacco, along with my co-hosts, Josh Shepard and Devin Hughes. Guys, first of all, how are we doing?
Doing pretty good. Had a good week. Had a fast week, like I said last week.
Yeah.
I'm doing fast.
Dude.
But thank God once again.
It's Friday.
And I'm glad it is. Now, we have a lot to talk about.
Oh boy, man. This is certainly one of those days where I wish I could sit here for the next 3 hours and talk to everyone about college football. But there is so much to unpack, but we only got an hour, so let's get right to it. For obviously the most shocking upset probably of the season and probably of the past many years, Alabama went into Vanderbilt but got upset 40-35 as a number one team to an unranked team. How shocked were you guys about this?
I still have no idea what to say. I mean, I do, but man, once I saw that, I was like, God, like, what is happening? What has happened? How we beat number one Georgia? Number one, right?
Number two.
It was Vandy. I don't care how good Vandy is. This is the name Vandy. I still can't believe it.
Now, let me tell you this. When we went to the game prediction and talked about it, each one of us said, oh, this is a different Vandy team, right?
Yep.
It's a very different Vandy team.
Right.
Because this is a team that the better quarterback. Oh, wait.
Feel good? Okay, my bad. Sorry. But this was a team with a better quarterback, with a better all-around team. This team had nothing to lose, and we got smoked. We got genuinely bamboozled at Nashville. And this is not even like, oh, the upset of the season. No. This is the greatest upset of all time in college football
wow.
history.
Whoa.
No.
Wow.
Whoa. I am putting this ahead of Michigan and Appalachian State because that entire season in 2007, everybody was getting upset.
Yeah, you're right.
You cannot come off of a game where you beat up a team full of NFL prospects and a win where you were beating them on all sides of the ball, and then you are still on that high to going into Vanderbilt, and not only – do you lose? But your defense looks like a JV team from Poland. I mean, it was so horribly bad, it makes my mama cry. And she wasn't crying because she's an Ole Miss fan. She was probably happy as heck. But I'm saying this right now, is that this entire team looked like dog crap for four straight quarters. Womack has no idea what dimension he was coaching this game. He got smoked up by a guy named Diego by four quarters, and they could not find a way to win. And some Alabama fans were saying to me, like, oh, wow, man, wait, I wonder if Walmart's going to go for a college football head coaching spot after this season. He's not even going to get a JV coaching spot for a D25 school anytime soon by the performance he had. This team looked like rubbish. It looked like Elmer's crap and Sesame Street. This team looked like Dookie. And you're telling me, oh, yeah, like, we're going to be a Vanderbilt. We're in Nashville. Vanderbilt, wait, what has Vanderbilt produced outside of Jay Cutler all these years? And that's not even saying much at all. This was pathetic. The only reason why Alabama was competitive in this game was because of a 17-year-old and a guy who maybe will win the Heisman Trophy pretty soon. Two guys. And that's it. Alabama got the crap beaten out of them on both sides of the football. Vanderbilt came into this game very, very well strategized because they had to keep the ball on most of the time because that's the best way of keeping Alabama off the field, as well as making sure every single time they get on the field, let's get some points. It's pathetic. I could have coached up a better defense on Madden 25 or College Football 25 than Womack did. It was pathetic. Oh, yeah, wow.
I got two things. One, it seemed like the team just did not care.
Yeah.
Like, looking at all of them in the sideline, they just – I just saw this them just standing around. Even DeBoer, showed a clip to him, and he's just standing there. There's no, like, no emotion whatsoever. He's just stone-faced. I guess – I mean, to show his composure, but let's be real. Nick would be freaking out if he sees this.
Oh, yeah.
He's acting a fool on the sideline. But it's like – the board didn't even care. The players on the sideline did not care.
Yeah.
They just didn't care. And the second thing is, Vandy was running the same five plays.
I don't think they kept running it. I don't think they can hear us.
They can't hear us.
I
don't think they can. My dad just said they can't hear us.
Oh. Hey. What if?
All right. So, yeah, the second thing was they kept running the same five plays. That shovel pass, man. I can't watch another shovel pass without thinking about the game. It's PTSD, man. I don't understand. They kept falling for the little pitch. They fell for the shovel. They fell for the little pop to the tight end where he's going to fake like he's going to run and throws to the tight end. And they fell for it every single time. No adjustments were getting made. I just don't understand how. Mm-hmm. How? No emotion. That was not Alabama what I was watching. I was not watching Alabama. That was Kalen DeBoer's team. That wasn't Alabama. I will say that for sure.
So I saw an interview the other day, just a clip of an interview that Diego Pavia had throughout this week after the upset. And so what he was saying is at the coin toss, basically the Alabama players that went out for the coin toss were basically talking mad trash and treating Vanderbilt like they're an FCS team, and they're acting way too confident. This is Diego Pavia's word. Just basically, the Alabama players were acting way too confident. They didn't even do handshakes at the coin toss. They just kind of walked back to the sideline. And they paid for it. Alabama paid for it, and they paid for it very badly. And, yeah, they acted like they did not care. I have no words. I mean, I really don't want to – I can't overreact. I can't, say a bunch of crazy stuff because that's just unfair. But I don't even know. It's like they just got flat out physical, like beat physically. I mean, all on their defense was just crushed physically. And the Vanderbilt, 12 for 18 on third downs, possession time for 42 minutes of the game.
That's the problem.
Yep.
That's the problem.
The defense was literally out there, quite literally equivalent to the time of from the start of the game to the end of the third quarter. I mean, it was like three quarters of the entire game, your defense was on the field. That's ridiculous.
How many minutes you say that they were on the field for offense? Or how many minutes you say, like 42? Right?
It was like 41, 37, 41 minutes, 30-something seconds. Wow.
You're telling me that you – you can win a game so easily by doing that. I mean, that's just incredible clock management. And I mean, and I will continue to say it, and I don't care. I mean, this is the greatest upset I've ever seen in college football history. With the upset with Appalachian State in Michigan, that upset happened because of a very lucky blocked field goal. No, this game right here happened because Vanderbilt dominated sides of the football. This wasn't just one big lucky play. This was, we're going to show you how Vanderbilt plays football, according to that one guy seven years ago. And they dominated them on both sides. I mean, it's just that you cannot look at this game and think, oh, wow, I feel so confident of being a fan of this team. How are you going to feel if by some chance tomorrow Alabama somehow loses to South Carolina? How will that make you feel? I mean, this is pathetic. But morally, it's needed. It's a really needed loss. They needed something to smack them on the side of the face like a chancla in Mexico. They needed something to wake them up.
Yep.
They did. It's like me needing a Focalin to wake me up in the morning or a cup of coffee, man. I have to get something to wake me up. This right here was a wake-up call better than military wake-ups. I mean, they had to, because with this can help them be able to say, okay, we know how good we can be, but we also know how good Diego Pavia is as well. But we have to be able to use this loss and stay humble, because they probably were partying it out and going to rounders every single day of the weekday, and now they get humbled in Nashville of the one team that I cannot believe I am on this campus witnessing. I've witnessed Saban retire. I'm going to witness an election happen, and I've witnessed Alabama lose to Vanderbilt, in which I would have never seen coming since maybe even NCAA 25. That's the only other time I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever would have thought. And I thought baseball was the only thing good for Vanderbilt, man.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to take in from this loss. I hope Malachi Moore can put all that aggression out on Lenora Sanders. But I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed, and I don't blame a lot of the fans who were pretty depressed after that.
Yeah. We literally witnessed the tortoise and the hare. The hare got too cocky, slacked back, tortoise ended up winning the race. And quite literally, Vandy held onto the ball the whole time, like the tortoise, kept on steady, 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 and got the win.
It wasn't even that much either. It's like Vanderbilt had a phenomenal game plan for this game.
Yep, they did. You got to give it to them. You have to give it to
them. Their defense played really solid football. I mean, their offense was incredible in the run game. I have never seen some of the play calls on the offensive side in my lifetime until that Vanderbilt game, especially some of the games that some of the plays they got in touchdowns. The RPO option was phenomenal. And that 4th-and-1 deep ball pass by Diego Pavia to I forgot what his last name was, but to that receiver for Vanderbilt.
Right.
I mean, that's just having a dog mentality.
Yeah.
And they, absolutely. Mean, Vanderbilt had nothing to lose. They almost beat Missouri. They should have probably beat Missouri.
Yeah.
And they just said, you know what? You want to come into our house and say, oh, yeah, this is the easiest place you play in the SEC, according to Nick Saban. Oh, we're going to shut you up, and then we're going to go party up in Nashville, one of the greatest cities in America. And that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, we have to give Vanderbilt credit. I mean, that's what I think throughout the week the media has kind of fell short of doing is not giving Vanderbilt enough credit. Yeah. I mean, you have to give it where it's due. They flat out dominated Alabama. They flat out did. 12 for 18 on third downs. And many of them, people got to realize, many of them were like 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9, or longer than that. And they still converted them. Like, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And they beat Alabama by a long shot. When it mattered, and all the plays that mattered the most, every single important play of the game, Vanderbilt won.
Yeah,
I mean, flat out.
Exactly. And the thing, too, is that this is more on coaching. This was a coaching win by Vanderbilt because I think 100 people are going to tell you that Alabama has a much, much better talent than Vanderbilt has ever had.
Right.
This was a coaching win by Vanderbilt because they strategized and they came up with the best game plan to be able to stay on the field and waste as much time as possible. That pick six was one of the biggest game changers for the game.
Absolutely.
Because a score and then Alabama scores and then a score in Alabama, it could go back and forth, but Vanderbilt held a 2-score lead, which is huge, and that was their game plan. And that is just what happened. I mean, that's just what happened. Heck, Pavia brought out every single one of his family members from all around the world just to come up and show them through that game. And, I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Well, to add on to that, I mean, you got to remember, it was 13-7. Alabama had four. That was one of the six times that Vanderbilt had failed on a third down. They were punting, and then they had the debacle with somehow both Ryan Williams and Xavier Brown, the two guys that were number two on the team. They were both on the field at the same time. Mm. A 5-yard penalty made Vanderbilt get the first down, and then they later scored a touchdown a couple minutes later. That's 7 points right there.
That's coaching right there, man.
And you also have to remember when it was 33-28 Vanderbilt, Alabama was driving down the field. They're in Vanderbilt territory. Milroe, I don't know who on the offensive line forgot to do their job, but someone did.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt ran right at Milroe, strip sack, turnover, as Alabama was running down the field to finally take the lead. And then what happened next? Vanderbilt, they went down, scored a touchdown. Another huge swing.
I want to say this, though. It's like for that fumble on Milroe, isn't the left side of the offensive line supposed to be the blind side? Why on God's green earth are you so blindsided to look to the left side that you don't even see a 260-pound gigantic player coming right at you? I don't get that. Maybe that – I'm not a quarterback for any league. I'm not, but your right side is not your blind side unless you're Tua Tagovailoa. But it's like why are you blindsided on your right side when you are throwing on your right side?
Yeah.
That makes zero sense. If I'm a quarterback, I'm going to have my entire chest looking over the front and looking on both ways instead of just looking over here. And even though I'm not even a lefty side quarterback, that was a really bad play. And guess what goes on? Coaching. It goes on coaching again.
Yeah.
And it's stupid.
Yeah.
Vandy, they got it, man. They got us.
Yeah.
You can't – there's nothing else to say. Vandy got the win. They deserved it. They played like they wanted to win. Alabama did not.
Exactly.
And it's crazy to think because Alabama – you saw the stands?
Right.
None but crimson and white.
Oh, yeah.
One little corner had all the Vandy fans, and yet they all showed up supported, stayed loyal.
Yeah.
They don't even have a stadium. That's the thing.
Yeah, there's still construction going on at the stadium. There's still construction going on there.
So, like, Vandy, with all the doubt, flipped the world upside down, getting the upset, and you gotta give them their hand clap.
Gotta give them credit props, where credit's due. Yeah. But for the Alabama defense, the concerns have only gone – they skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Going back to starting the third quarter against Georgia, they've given up 67 points. That's basically 11 points a quarter. 11 points a quarter over the last six quarters. That's embarrassing. And I don't know what Kane Womack is doing with the defense, but something has to change. Like, I don't get it. It's like – at halftime of the Georgia game, I have no idea what happened, but something happened, and they all of a sudden, like, have forgotten to play defense or something. Like, I really don't know. Like, that's what's most confusing is against Western Kentucky and even against Wisconsin, a Power 5 school. The defense was really, really good, and the first half of the Georgia game, the defense was really, really good. And then right after that, I don't know what in the world happened. I don't get it.
We have a lot to discuss, boys.
Yeah.
And it's not even the biggest upset of the weekend.
Yeah, it's not. Well,
actually, it is the biggest upset.
You called it the biggest upset in college football history.
But it wasn't the only one. That right. was oh, major. Oh. oh, we're not we're not even done.
We're just getting started.
The one thing that Alabama was probably happy about for fans-wise is that one of their biggest rivals lost to the people of Lafayette, man.
Yeah, and speaking of that, we are going to talk about that on the other side of this break. The student section, college football, talking more upsets from last week. And we got to talk Tennessee, Arkansas. It's Arkansas at home. They beat number 4 Tennessee 19-14. This was really confusing for me, too, because Tennessee's offense was lighting it up, and all of a sudden they play – I think Arkansas's defense was ranked, like, towards the bottom of the SEC. They only scored 14 points. What did you guys see?
Man, jaw dropped when I saw that. I was like, oh, man. Like, this is amazing. And I was at the last play. I was thinking, oh, all right, they're going to blow it, aren't they? And they didn't. Yeah. I was like, wow, Arkansas, we got the job done?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, Arkansas really did it. Because they're not known for winning those big SEC games.
No,
and with
not
them beating Tennessee, I'm, like, very impressed with Arkansas.
Man, Nico Amalava went from being an $8 million quarterback to an $8 biggie bag at one game. I mean, he looked like crap. I mean, I was listening. I'll tell you right now, bro, is that I was really impressed with Arkansas and their defense, especially. Even when Taylen Green got hurt, they still came in and they still kept on fighting.
Yeah.
They still kept on fighting. And I was really impressed by that. But Nico, my guy, my boy, my 5-star-plus quarterback, who apparently was ahead of Arch Manning, why are you not throwing on the final play when you know you have to throw the ball in the end zone? You said, I'm going to be dual threat. I'm going to go for the first.
Superman.
I mean, it was like Devin said, I mean, that was just the cake on top because you're like, oh, how else can this weekend game work crazy? Oh, here comes Arkansas. Here come the Woo Pigs. Oh, here they come. And they're coming, and they're smoking up the Volunteers, man. And even they took their goalposts down and threw in the river. I mean, everybody's a happy camper except for some people. But, I mean, it's crazy. Because, like you said, Graham, is that this was supposed to be a really good Tennessee offense that Heupel has brought up, yet – when you go play in Fayette, Arkansas, and you got to deal with all the Woo Pigs, you got to deal with that crowd. I mean, I will tell you this every single time. I will never underestimate a SEC crowd and game in the night. I will never underestimate them. It don't matter if you're Vanderbilt. It don't matter if you're Arkansas. It doesn't matter if you're Kentucky. Do not ever underestimate anybody like that, because once you do that, you're screwed, because the one play you mess up
it's just going to get worse at a point.
Also, it really confused me, like, because so Tennessee had it. It was fourth down. They're on the 20-yard line, so I mean they're well within like a Hail Mary range. And Nico runs the ball out of bounds.
Exactly.
Like,
what are you doing, bro?
I got texts from people that I know that go to Tennessee. They're like, that was a Joe Milton moment. And
I don't think Joe Milton when you do something
well,
like
well,
that.
Joe Milton was known for doing stuff like that, where like on the last play he would run out of bounds instead of throwing the ball down the field to give Tennessee a chance to win at the last second. So they called it a Joe Milton moment, which makes sense. It was really confusing for me, but I mean, again, we have to give Arkansas credit here. Like, they shut down one of the most potent offenses in the country, and they shut them down really well. Like, 14 points against a team that was dropped 51 on NC State and was dropping, you know, 60, 70 points on everyone else that they were playing. Like, that again, round of applause to Arkansas.
No, I agree. I mean, heck, for a guy who's probably on the hot seat right now in Sam Pittman,
yeah,
this was a very good win, not only for recruiting, but at least keeping your job for the next couple of games where you're not getting a butt warmer, but you're on the high seat, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This was a big win for Arkansas for so many different reasons. They even showed how much fight they have for this moment, because when your starting quarterback goes down,
oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
that does so much for your team.
Right.
But he's on the sideline hyping up the crowd, hyping up the team, saying, hey, go finish. And Dak Gumman, they finished. They finished the game.
Yeah, and what this does now is we'll talk more about this next week. But look, guys, Alabama goes to Tennessee next week. Like, both teams got one loss already. Someone's going to lose the game. So you know, after last week, like, that could, depending on, you know, how the rest of the season plays out, it may or may not be potential elimination game for the playoffs. We'll see. I think, you know, with the SEC, with the strength of schedule, I think two losses for a team isn't totally going to destroy your playoff odds. But it would certainly destroy your odds, I think, of at least hosting a home playoff game in round one. But, yeah, I mean, the magnitude of that game has just risen up even higher now. But let's move on to the next upset. USC. They went to Minnesota as the number 11 team,
ooh.
And they lost 27-24.
Man,
this was another stutter. Now, I get it. Like, USC, you know, they lost to Michigan and stuff, but we gotta remember Minnesota lost to North Carolina with a backup quarterback for most of the game. Like, it's not like Minnesota is a world beater here. Now, I've always thought PJ Fleck was a cool coach, but like, again, this is another really confusing result for me here. Like, especially with Miller Moss, you know, he's been slinging it around the field early on this season. I've really liked him. But Minnesota, they stopped him.
You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. USC, University of Swiss Cheese, can't get those stops. I mean, it's just USC. And this isn't the Pac-10, the 12.
Right.
You've got to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just rely on stopping the pass. You're in the Big Ten now. These big boys love the run. They're real gritty. So mm-hmm. USC, you've got to get your act together if you're going to survive the Big Ten. Because we were thinking, oh, man, USC in the Big Ten, this is going to be really competitive. But USC is not – they're not holding their weight.
Right.
I mean, you're telling me Lincoln Riley is the most overrated coach in all of college football. And I will go to the grave saying that. That dude, he can coach up an offense better than I could ever dream of. But that dude, when it comes to at least staying consistent, I don't even think he can consistently walk in the mornings. I mean, that dude can't even consistently beat a team that isn't even that good in this conference in Minnesota. Heck, all the magic that Minnesota college football team has gone all the way to the NFL. Because Sam Darnold's slinging it like the rock. I mean, it is. But the fall off of USC is going to feed families. It is. It's already feeding me, all right? I'm not going to lie. It's like a Fusaclis meal. It feels really, really good at 5 o'clock in the morning. What am I saying? I don't know. But
who gets Fusaclis at 5 o'clock in the
morning?
I do. Are they actually open at 5 o'clock in the morning?
No.
Okay. I was I've never seen it.
No. But the fall off is crazy, though, because after the first week against LSU, people were really hyping this team up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fall off is crazy because the Michigan loss, I can understand. But this loss, what in the world was this? What, Lincoln Riley, what are you doing? You coached up a better offense with Jalen Hurts, Caleb Williams, all these studs. How do you not even beat up Minnesota? Oh, my Lord. I think Mississippi State would compete better than USC did.
I'll be honest. I still don't even fully understand the Michigan loss that USC had. I mean, Michigan won by getting by banking on the 40, 50, 60-yard runs a few times throughout the game. That's the only reason that they won. I mean, yeah, as you say, Swiss cheese.
That was a defensive win for Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it really was. But, like, yeah, I mean, USC, the fall-off, and they got Penn State this week now. Like, you know, USC, like, your playoff odds are, well, they're pretty much done if you don't beat Penn State this week. Like, that's three losses already.
Well, they're not even ranked anymore.
Yeah, they're not even ranked. Yeah, like, they've gone.
It's green right now,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they went straight from 11 to out of the top 25. Like, they're like 27 or something
now,
at this point.
I will say that this game against Penn State is at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, a.k.a. USC's home game.
So what?
2:30 game.
That's fine.
Oh, so what? Vanderbilt beat Alabama at home. Tennessee lost to Arkansas at home. Michigan beat up USC at home. It doesn't matter. If you're playing at home, Graham, you have a very good chance of losing.
I get it. I just think Penn State's actually, like, they're actually good. Like, I especially their defense is really good.
True Aller is a Dollar General version of Josh Allen. Don't come at me with that.
Wow. Okay.
This is why you brought me to the show, man. I will tell you this. Drew Aller, I have not seen a single thing that's impressed me about him. He's got a phenomenal run game. His defense is amazing. He has some really solid offensive linemen. Drew Aller, I have yet to see do one single thing that makes me say, wow. Yeah, I want
my – So you're saying he's spoiled?
He's not even spoiled. He's overrated. That's what he is. he's not even playing with home cooking. He's got home cooking with the running backs, brother.
He's already thrown for over 1,000 yards, only threw one pick the whole season.
Dog.
Almost 10 touchdowns.
Dude, Diego Pavio is more to impress me. He hasn't even passed over 1,000 yards yet.
I think you're disrespecting Penn State a little too much right now.
I'm not disrespecting Penn State. I'm disrespecting Drew Aller. That's who I'm disrespecting.
Okay.
AKA the QB of the team.
Okay. So do you even give, like, Penn State a chance to even win a playoff game?
Oh, no.
What?
Wow.
No. Okay, wow.
Not a chance.
There's going to be a lot more talk on that as we go down the stretch of the season. But another upset. Personally, for me, I don't call this an upset because I predicted it. Michigan, number 10, losing to Washington 27-17 on the road. And the reason I say I'm not surprised is because, like I said a couple weeks ago, the only reason Michigan beat USC is because of the big runs. If you don't get those 50, 60-yard runs, they don't win a game. And look what happened. They didn't get the 50, 60-yard touchdowns like they did against USC. And what happened? Well, they lost.
Well, you guessed it predictably. You predicted correctly. You did
pretty much perfectly, actually.
I think all three of us did.
Yeah, we all did, yeah.
I mean, and this was a national championship rematch.
Yep.
It didn't even feel like one, honestly.
It really didn't. I was really impressed with Washington's offense, though. I think Will Rogers played a very good game of football. And I think what settled it for me was the fact that they had to bench Alex Orji. I forgot. I think it was either the second or third quarter they did. And they brought in Jack Tuttle in the game. He was okay, but it was just – there was a reason why apparently Michigan is about to get funded by – who was the guy who always reviews pizzas?
Talking about Dave Portnoy?
Yeah. Apparently, he's about to drop $3 million to get a transfer quarterback to come to Michigan.
They need
really?
One. They need a quarterback bad.
They need a quarterback almost as bad as Auburn does.
That says
a lot, dog.
It's crazy to think, but I think you could make the argument Jack Tuttle's the best quarterback on that roster. Alex Orji cannot pass the ball. Davis Warren threw three picks against Arkansas
That's
State.
Right.
They got a 4 or 5 high-star quarterback, I'm pretty sure. He's a true freshman. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But still, they're trash.
Yeah.
Shoot,
no,
I mean, at this point,
no.
What you got to lose? Give them their chance. If they're not redshirted, might as well.
Man.
my question is, how in the world is Michigan ranked? They're 24.
They're 24?
They're 20. Like, they stay in the top 25, guys.
Somebody in the AP must be alumni. That's the only reason.
Like, yeah, they fell 14 spots, but, like, are you serious right now? Like, I'm not looking at this Michigan team and saying, oh, yeah, that's a top 25 team right now. No.
The fall off of Michigan national championship is almost as bad as LSU's national championship fall off.
Yeah.
Because Ed Orgeron was sniffing Red Bull instead of drinking it, and he made that team so bad. It was depressing as any kind of LSU fan I've ever met. I mean, it was. But right now, Michigan has lost everything even before the season started, and they just need some sort of glimmer of hope. The only thing they have is all about to be gone when the NFL draft comes up, because Will Johnson's going to be gone, Mason Graham's going to be gone,
yeah.
Kenneth Grant is going to be gone.
Yeah.
What the heck are they going to have left? Nothing. Oh, even heck, Josiah Stewart is going to be gone, who's a really good edge rusher for them. I mean, they're not going to have anything left.
No.
They're not going to have anything left, bro.
Michigan's still ranked.
Yeah.
You know what's insane?
They're 24.
The military shoes, Army and Navy, they're undefeated. Oh, they're not even getting no respect.
Dude, that matchup at the end of the year is going to feed families.
Ooh, man, I can't wait to see that game, man.
If they keep winning, Army and Navy will feed families like no other game in college football history.
Oh, my gosh, man.
What's funny
is that game right now, that could be the conference championship. Army, yep. Navy. Dude, could you imagine Army Navy? That would be amazing.
But what's insane, man, is that they don't even have their own week anymore. You know how they used to have just that week just for them? Now that they're playing other games on that week, which I feel like that's trash.
Give me Vandy, give me Navy, give me Army, and somehow in there or somewhere, give me UNLV, and we're gonna make a freaking awesome college football that will ruin the world.
Dude.
Man, I love college football, boys.
Hell yeah.
Yo, but see, that's not all the upsets so far. Well, actually, it is. But there is almost another upset out west in California.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so there's 33 minutes left in the third quarter. So a total of 18 minutes left in the game. They're up 35-10, folks. They lose the game 39-38. They got outscored 29-3 in the final 18 minutes of the game. Miami, they're 6-0 right now. They are this close to being 4-2 because they had the Virginia Tech debacle with the ending of that game and the review and all that. And then they had Cal somehow blow a 25-point lead in 18 minutes. Falcons Patriots Super Bowl esque. It is because of the 25 points.
Matt Ryan would be so proud.
Yeah, Matt Ryan is, man, he is. He's actually smiling. He's like, man, at least I'm not the only one. But yeah, man, what you guys see from Miami?
That game didn't end till like 1:30.
It was late. It was super late.
Oh man, it was worth staying up. I almost fell asleep during halftime.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm like, okay, this is getting bored. I might as well get ready for Sunday.
Right.
I was like, you know what? I'll stay up and watch the game, see if anything happens. And boy, am I glad I did.
Yeah.
Man, it was quite a showdown. I can't believe Cal just fell off like 25-point lead.
Yeah.
Like, Cal, you got to do better if you want to last in the ACC. They kept calling the game, what was it? Communists versus convicts.
Yeah.
That was amazing, man. The aura of the game was amazing.
Oh,
game was there. The signs were hilarious just because they were just so out of left field.
Right.
It was just amazing.
Even that guy made that field goal. That student made a field goal, didn't he?
Yeah, I think
he
did.
During college game, I didn't see that part. Oh, I didn't see
that. Yeah, he made a field goal. He was the first one so far this year.
This was a great Pacific versus the Atlantic type of game, man.
I'm going to say right now, man. Cam Ward is going to get drafted by the New York Giants in the first round, and he's going to lead the Giants to 12 Super Bowls in all of his years. I'm playing. But I hope he doesn't get drafted, though, by us. But, no, that game was phenomenal. That game showed every single reason and more to be College Game Day. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fans were incredible. The game was incredible. I saw a choke of a lead that Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan would have a tear over. I mean, it was an amazing game. It was. And Cal looked good for a little while, and then they choked it. They choked it harder than I've ever seen before. I mean, it was an amazing game. It was. And, you know, that is what college football is all about. You have amazing college student fans who, you know, are going to be there. They're going to get probably a little bit hammered, but are going to have a lot of fun watching a very late game in California. You have a potential Heisman Trophy winner in Cam Ward up there proving and balling out. Should Miami probably be 4-2 right now? Probably. They probably should be. But a win is a win.
Yeah.
A win is a win.
I mean, I think one of the bigger – in terms of the Heisman race, to take away from Saturday, Cam Ward's odds went way up. Jalen Milroe's odds went way down. I mean, that's a big difference. And I think another guy no one's talking about, we'll have to talk about the Heisman race at some point later on this season as it gets closer.
We all know who we're talking about.
Ashton Jantzi.
Oh, my gosh. We don't even push it to the side. You tell me in five or six games, he has already over 1,000 rushing yards, 16 touchdowns, and has like 10.1 yards per carry.
He's averaging a first down.
I have, in all the years I've been alive on this earth, I have never seen stats like that in the first five games.
I actually saw a stat like right before the show started today. Comparing Ashton Jantzi's stats right now through the first five games to when Derrick Henry won the Heisman,
to when
Mark Ingram won the Heisman, and then when Reggie Bush did. So Derrick Henry had like, I think it was like 527-ish yards. Mark Ingram had like 490-ish, and then Reggie Bush had like a little over 600. Ashton Jantzi has over 1,000 already. He needs to be the Heisman. He is my pick.
Now, let me say this, too, as well, is that people are like, oh, who have they played? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, dude, at the same time, though, you cannot be more than impressed with what he's doing. Exactly. Oh, he's like, oh, you think any other running back in the country would be doing this exact same thing? Mm-hmm. No. Absolutely not. No. There's not a chance in the world, man. This dude is balling out each and every single game. Doesn't matter who he's playing. It don't matter. He's putting up these numbers. Nobody – heck – you only see numbers like these out of like Najee or Derrick Henry in high school.
These are numbers that you put up when you are on freshman difficulty.
Yes, demands a video game.
Exactly right.
Like only that can be possible. All right, we're gonna head to break and we're gonna discuss this loaded college football slate. And we're gonna try to squeeze it all in the next 15 minutes.
That's difficult.
It is. Yes. We are back, the student section, college football, and we're going to talk about the games this week. It's a loaded slate. First of all, we're going to talk Alabama trying to bounce back against South Carolina at home, coming back. It's parents' weekend, which is pretty cool. We'll see how that turns out. But, yeah, what are you guys looking for tomorrow?
I'm looking for some answers. That's what I'm looking for, because I thought after the Georgia game, all right, we just need a little tweaking on defense. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, what are we going to do? I'm going to walk to the stadium with a notebook full of questions. Mm-hmm. And DeBo, if you're listening, I want some answers. Because I don't know what to expect. I don't know. I really don't know what my prediction is going to be. I'm going to be honest. Because I'm just so lost. I'm oblivious. Alabama, get your act together.
Mm-hmm. I better see you tomorrow. Walmart come out with a 2003 Baltimore Ravens looking defense against South Carolina. If I don't see at least eight sacks tomorrow on Lenore Sellers, and then probably like Robbie Ashford coming into the game out of nowhere because he'll hurt his ankle or something, I'd be really disappointed, because this has to be a game where either you are showing that you can make the playoffs and be a really good team and make a good run at it, or you're overrated.
Yeah.
That's why I see out of this game.
Yeah, I see pretty much the exact same way. This is my prediction. It's either going to go one of two ways. Number one, Alabama's going to come out and flat out dominate and beat South Carolina by a lot, and the defense is going to show the nation that they're back. Or number two, this is going to be a game where we just sweat it out and Alabama wins in the last few minutes and like pulls away, like wins by 10 or something.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
One of those two things is going to happen. And look, I'm going to be honest, just given the evidence of what I've seen over the last six quarters, I think I'll say Alabama wins 31-21. I don't think Alabama covers.
I don't even know what to say. Give me some faith, Alabama. Alabama 34-37.
Okay. Wait, 34-37. Wow. Field goal game.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm going to be the different one of the bunch, just so that at least one of us can be wrong. unless just something horrible happens.
Whoa.
I'm going to say South Carolina's going to win by 10.
Time out.
Oh, what are you going to say, Graham? What are you going
to
say?
Is this just to prevent like a sweep, or do you genuinely believe this in your mind?
I said last weekend, oh, it would take a miracle for Vanderbilt, but we all know it's going to be Alabama's going to win this game. I said that. I remember what I said. And I think to myself, man, I'm really dumb. I'm really stupid. So you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say it's Beamer ball time. Give me South Carolina.
What?
Give me 17 to 10
South Carolina. What? You don't think the offense is going to do anything at all either?
Ryan Williams is going to have an amazing one-handed catch like Odell Beckham style in the back of the end zone, and that's going to be it.
Are you trolling, or do you genuinely believe this is going to happen?
Yes.
I don't even know. I'm not even arguing.
No. I think he's kind of trolling, folks. Trolling, but man, he might be trolling a little bit, but I guess you never know. It's college football.
Whether I win or lose this prediction, it doesn't matter, because if Alabama does somehow lose this game, I'm right. I don't think even
it is on record. Yeah,
it's on record. It don't matter. if it's oh my lord, oh gosh.
All right, to the next game, Kansas State traveling to Colorado for little Big 12 after dark. If you will. Look, I think this is a very interesting game. The Big 12 is a really, really interesting conference where it's kind of wide open. And you know, this is kind of like in a little aside here for a second, but if things play out with the Big 12 where, like, they just kind of eat each other alive, look out for, like, Boise State. If they, like, go, like, if they went out, then maybe they could be a 4-seed conference champion. You never know. But anyway, what do you guys think about this game, Kansas State at Colorado?
They're playing in Boulder, right?
Yep.
Ooh, that's going to be interesting in the Rockies, man.
Yeah.
Let's see if Avery Johnson get the job done. This is going to be a game worth staying up to. Mm-hmm. Like, this might be better than the Cal-Miami game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes.
Travis Hunter might show out, man. I feel like it's one of these games where he will. But Avery Johnson, you cannot doubt him. He's proven time and time again he can persevere. Oklahoma State, he got the job done.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I'm really looking forward to this game.
I think Colorado with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, as of lately, they've been balling out. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun football to watch with that team. And with this game right here especially, because Avery Johnson, he's been balling out. They have a really, really nice team all around. This is going to be a fun game that even with – I agree with what Devin said. It's going to be one of those games that you want to stay up to watch, because what happens in this game is going to come down to the end, in my opinion. Prediction-wise?
Yeah.
Give me Colorado with the upset. I will say – by some miracle, they win 38-31.
Wow.
I just really like Avery Johnson. I think it's going to be really close. I'll say, I think 35-31 Kansas State.
Oh, well, Kansas State?
Yep.
I'm going with the home team, man. Colorado, man. Hey, playing in the Rockies, man.
Let's go. Yeah.
That's tight. I'd say Colorado. I haven't even thought about score. I feel like this might be a little more high scoring.
Yeah.
I'd say 35-47 Colorado. Colorado just choked, but like they pretty much put the gas on the pedal towards the end on Kansas State.
I give it that.
All right. Really quickly, we're going to speed through the next couple ones for time's sake. Ole Miss, LSU. So it's in LSU, and boy, Ole Miss, they looked. They've been a very confusing team. They lost to Kentucky, but then they go to South Carolina and absolutely dominate. But you know what? I think the crowd at Death Valley is going to give them the upper hand. I think LSU is going to win this game. We'll say 27-24.
Got to love the Magnolia Bowl, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good game to see. LSU, that defense, they're going to have to fight. Against, even with the home field advantage, they're going to have to fight against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Probably not going to be able to live at my friend's dorm for a little while because they're all Baton Rouge folks. But give me Ole Miss.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
28-23.
Yeah.
Man, this is difficult for me, man. My mom is an Ole Miss fan. My dad is an LSU fan.
Okay.
I am kind of in a pickle here.
Yeah, but you are. A little bit.
There's only one place on earth that I've been to that has just – almost disrupted my eardrums outside of Mississippi State, and that was LSU. And LSU will be out without a few of their wide receivers, and they have a little bit less of weapons, and their defense has been picking up pace a lot more. Comparing it to last year, it looks like gold. But, I mean, Hey, you see what I did there? But I will say this. Get on the Nuss bus. Garrett Nussmeier is a very good quarterback. He reminds me of Brett Favre without the turnovers.
Wow.
And he's a really good quarterback. I love Ole Miss. I love my mama. But give me the Bayou Bengals in a game of 30-24.
Okay.
Wow.
Really quickly, the Red River. Look, I'm sorry. I just think Texas is a very, very good team. I don't really see anyone. I don't see Oklahoma stopping them. So I'll say Texas. I do think because it's a rivalry, I think it will be pretty close. So I'll say Texas 38-35.
Wow. You got some faith in Oklahoma. I know this game looks great on paper.
Why not?
I mean, that was not a diss.
Probably should have said a little wider range, but no. Texas is going to win no matter what.
Yeah, I do feel the same way, that Texas is going to win this no matter what. Like, I can't, well.
Right.
Vandy, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me Texas. Wow.
32-42. Okay. Oklahoma's about to get the crap beaten out of them.
Okay.
This is the first time a true freshman has ever started for Oklahoma.
I did not know that.
And I just checked that earlier. And Michael Hawkins, he's a really good player.
Yeah.
He's about to get the crap beaten out of him by Colin Simmons. And this is also the first game back for Quinn Ewers as well.
He'll be playing for the first time in
about 2 weeks. Prediction-wise, give me 28-13 Texas.
Okay. Yeah, I'll adjust mine a little bit. Okay. 38-28. Okay, 38-28.
I thought you said 38-12.
No, 38-28. Anyway, the game of the week, maybe the game of the year, you know, we'll talk about Alabama, Georgia, but Oregon, Ohio State in Austin, one of the greatest scenes in college football. Boy, I'm torn. I'm very torn on this game.
Is it Oregon, right?
It's at Oregon,
Eugene,
yes.
Because college game day is going on.
And what time is this game?
It is 6:30 Central, NBC.
6:30?
6:30 Central.
Oh,
so
heck yeah.
I just really love this Ohio State team. And I, like, this is, you could call this a Big Ten championship right now. I'm just called the Big Ten championship. The winner of this game is going to win the Big Ten. I think Ohio State is real. I'll say 31-27 Ohio State.
Yeah, this is going to be a great one. All the Big Ten teams, they're kind of trying to invade the AP top 10. But this is the time where they're all going to get at it with each other. And, hey, it's time to go to work in the Big Ten. The SEC had a chance, and, you know, they've been going at it. Now it's time for the Big Ten to go down. I can't see Oregon handling a Big Ten offense like Ohio State. As much as Oregon's offense is very potent.
Yeah,
I like Tez Johnson and Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah,
but it's going to be defensive. Not the game defensive, but it's going to come down to the best defense. And I do feel that Ohio State has a very great Big Ten-style defense that the Pac-12 just can't handle. So I'll take Ohio State 41. 28-41.
Okay. All
right. If you would tell me this was a morning game, in Oregon,
but it's not.
I would have said Ohio State by a land shot, but it's a night game at Oregon with some pretty cool game uniforms, probably played with. Give me the upset. Give me the upset. It's not even much of an upset because it's number two, number three. But give me the upset. I think Dylan Gabriel is going to put his name on the map for Heisman
Ohio
here.
3-point
I think Tez Johnson and Trayshawn Holden are going to put some good numbers up, and Dylan Gabriel put some good numbers up. It's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Smith probably have over 150 receiving yards.
He's
but
cook.
Give me Oregon 32-28.
All right. Wow. There we go. Enjoy the loaded college football slate and enjoy the MLB playoffs. go Tigers. Go Tigers. But, yeah, have a safe night, guys, and have a great, fantastic weekend.
Go Tigers!